and a few of the brethren this evening. But pray you, Father, please, that should they hear it today or should they hear it on down the road, that it would be a help. Just thank you for loving us, for saving us, for your good hand upon us. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to show yourself, God Almighty, even in these last of the last days. We love you and thank you. Please be with absent brethren, wherever they might be, and help us always to be a help in pointing souls to the foot of the cross, or at the very least, letting them hear of sin and judgment. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We are going to have a new hymn to sing this evening, but we'll sing that in a minute or two. We're going to sing a couple of songs out of the big old hymn book, so if you'd like to take that and turn to number 45. Number 45. I think this is the one. We do this one up in. Well, I can read my title here. Yeah, I just like that one.
You didn't when I first introduced.
No, I didn't, but I do now. It's the story of my life. In number 45, when I can read my title here. Hymn book.
This is a new edition, number 39. Number 39. Who would have thought we would have found nearly, 50, 60 hymns that weren't devoted that were of interest to us? This is our new request. This is Norman's. So, morning has broken. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not fit, just remain seated. But do please bend your voice. Morning has broken.
Stuart, and when I was small and going to school in the morning, she used to stop and lift me and take me to school. Right, tonight's reading is the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. I don't know how it would like, but been in a coma for 10 years, certainly, and just get to bed. Right, Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the call of Jesus Christ. To all being Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. This is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, is I am ready to preach the gospel to you, and that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known to God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible thing of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him as not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affliction, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of their woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen.
Romans chapter 1 is an excellent verse, probably one of the most relevant chapters of God's Word by way of a description of the days in which we live. Amen. I just want to remind everybody that we're on the little green prayer list. Is there anything that needs to be added to that prayer list? Does anybody, do you all still have private prayer requests? Yeah. All right. Please do remember all of those. And please do continue to pray for Pastor Ed Bissett, still suffering bladder infections after his cancer therapy, so please do pray about him. And there is it a relative or a distant relative?
Second cousin.
A second cousin of Monica's,
Michael Lasky.
A fellow by the name of Michael Lasky got a call from the hospital to say he had a diagnosis of chronic leukemia. So it's not acute leukemia, it's not the sort of one that 2 or 3 hours could make a difference. It is chronic, it's still serious, but I think that you have another relative that lived for 20 years after being diagnosed with chronic. It's a lot, it's like a low power, long lasting leukemia. My brother-in-law Paul had acute leukemia twice and is now traveling the country as a radiotherapist.
That'd be the right word.
He actually works now giving radiation treatment to people with cancer, and he travels all over America. He's like the man with the van and the trailer hooked onto the back of it. I think maybe even his bike in there as well, I'm not sure. So his name is Paul. So please do pray for Michael Lasky. We'll put that on there, Monica. I'm sure we'll have that on. And he's in what? He's not a young man, he's what, in his 40s?
He's 33.
33.
And has 2 young boys.
Appreciate your prayer. Let's bear that in mind as you go. That will be added to our list of prayer requests in a week or two, but please do remember that. Meantime, 117 in the big books, 117, if your foot will stand as we sing Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Hymn number 117.
Thereby is love.
may be seated. Just to keep those books out for another few minutes and turn to 319 with me, 319, and we'll do the Bethel rendition of Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Amen. This is a good one. I've heard it so many times. I'm sure it'll be just as good this evening. I would like to read the first 8 or 9 verses of this portion of God's Word, and then I would like to read another maybe dozen or so verses of the rest of the chapter. And I would like to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of it's already done. It is already done, or it's set in stone. Amen. Hope that's a help to you. We're in Jeremiah chapter 36. I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then I'm going to point you to a few verses in particular. Jeremiah chapter 36, beginning at verse number 1. And it came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto you, thee, against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, From the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And from there we're going to verse 10, where the word of God says, Then read Baruch in the book of words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. Then if we go on to verse 14, we'll read 14 and 15. And it says, therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand, and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down, and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And now if you would go to verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Verse 23. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it up with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. And we're going to finish off with verse number 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many words. Amen. That is our reading. A few verses of interest there. I'll have a quick word of prayer and then we will continue on. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for this time that we've set aside. I pray that please that you would open our understanding of the scriptures. Help us to see your hand, not only in the scriptures and in people's lives back in Jeremiah's day, but right now too. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Please be with those, Lord, that can't be here. I pray for a lifting up or an enabling. I pray, you, Lord, for the saving of souls. And I pray, you, Lord, that you wouldn't be done with us. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. The title for it, I have put done down as the title for the message, and it is an attempt, I hope, to express the the view that the Lord's will be done. What God says is going to happen might as well have happened already. It is a matter of history. And I hope you will see that as we go. By way of a little Bible study in this little portion of God's Word, Jeremiah has been put in prison for preaching the gospel, quite simply. We're warning people time and time again, and I know every time that we have opened the book of Jeremiah, I say the words again. Jeremiah was warning the people of the hard times that were going to come, and they kept ignoring them. They even, goodness, I think during the course of this, or indeed one of the later chapters, they actually tried to have Jeremiah killed. They didn't want to hear. So Jeremiah's in jail, and he's speaking to a mate of his, Baruch, and he says, write this stuff down and take it and read it in church. The whole land is given over to idolatry, to child sacrifice, to fornication. The churches are never attended, and those that are have been changed into pagan, worship places. There are a few that still care, but Jeremiah has instructed this fellow Baruch to go and read it in the church. And it caused a stir amongst the people. And then the princes got to hear of it, and they called Baruch to come and read it to them. So he read it to them, and they said, we have to tell the king. And so they brought it to the king and read it in the ears of the king. And the king wasn't very happy about it. In fact, it's biblical to have a penknife, by the way. The king took a penknife and cut it up into little bits and threw it in the fire. And that's always the best way to go when God is obviously working in your heart or mind about something you need to change, is to completely destroy the word of God that's coming to you. It's not like God wants the best for us or anything. Of course he does. And that's what I always say. Whenever I am reading these portions of scripture, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. But if a portion of the scripture strikes a chord in your heart or your mind, that is God speaking to you. He's just using this faulty speaker that is me. There was no repentance. One of the old signs of repentance was to rend your clothes. And a lot of them had a seam up the middle, so that if the person wanted to rend their clothes by way of showing they were sorry for their sins or something, they could just tear it and it would be easily torn, which is quite interesting that Jesus' coat didn't have any seams. It was one piece. He would never have to repent, so that's worth thinking on. There was no sackcloth and ashes. I noticed here that as we were reading, Jeremiah even mentioned, he said, if they hear the gospel, they all might repent. And we know that that is possible because us looking back at Jonah saw the whole of Nineveh repent. So the sad thing about it is that people haven't changed. Even though all the preachers in the churches that the people went to listen to had been shown to be liars. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar will never come. Nebuchadnezzar will be gone in 2 years. There'll be no trouble in Israel. We'll have peace. That never happened. God said through Jeremiah it was going to be 70 years in a foreign land. And even though they said the Chaldeans, they'll be gone in a year, or they never went. They've been shown to be liars time and time again. And yet when Jeremiah, the man that had proved himself time and time again to be the prophet of God, through short-term prophecies and even longer-term prophecies, all coming true, he still didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear it so much that he even made an attempt on his life. You need to know, back in the Old Testament, this was God's rules for prophets. If the prophet said something and it didn't happen, they were to be put to death. They would be killed. You dare to speak in the name of God and make a prophecy and it doesn't happen? He still didn't listen. And as we read this now, we get a little window into back in the day, and Israel, the humbling of Israel, was just about to begin. Now, as we sit here this evening, about 2,500 or 3,000 years later, we can skip forward a chapter or two, or even a book or two, and we can see that things happened exactly like God said they would. Children of Israel spent 70 years in Babylon, and then under the Medo-Persian Empire as well. And things didn't go so good for them until they started calling out to the Lord after 70 years. Things happened exactly like they said they would. And as I was writing that down, I thought about a great Old Testament verse in Isaiah 9 that happened exactly like it said it would about 500-600 years later. Isaiah 9 and verse number 6 and 7 say, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And it has been the case since Genesis, where we live our lives and die ever since Adam sinned, just like God said. It was the case before the flood. For 100 years, people were warned that there was judgment coming, and they ignored it, and judgment fell, and many of them lost. Most of them lost their lives. It's the same as God's promise to Abraham, who was an old man, and God said, "Out of your loins you will bring forth a great nation. All the families of the earth will be blessed, and whosoever shall curse you shall be cursed by me, and whosoever shall bless you shall be blessed by me." And this is exactly the way it is. We see the promises and blessings of victory for those that follow God with their eyes on him, and thinking especially of Saul and David and Solomon and many of the other kings that listened to him. And the promises of chastening and death for those that rebel and reject him. Does anyone remember the prophecies in Babylon, that of Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian that would come after it, and the Greek that would take over after that, and then the Roman Empire, and to this day the revived Roman Empire. And then the Lord's never-ending empire. We see in these books here that those that obeyed and surrendered were spared. And many years later, they and their families were returned. However, those that rebelled and fought, they were all put to death. We see in Jeremiah, not too far away from where we are, the promises of the restoration of Israel. In Jeremiah 31 and in Zechariah 12. The many prophecies about Christ, Isaiah 53 being the best, and even the coming of John the Baptist and Malachi. And with the benefit of hindsight, we see these things happen, just like God said they would be done. We see as well in Isaiah chapter 5, the warnings, things to look out for, that would turn the world upside down. When the woe unto you that call evil good and good evil. And we see those things today, just like goodness God was talking about today. We listen to the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and we read about the prophecies that Jesus made about Jerusalem, even the temple, about how there wouldn't be one stone stood upon another. We read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke Christ's descriptions of the last days. We read the descriptions of modern day religion, where many of the men will be standing and being traitors. We read the descriptions of religious people that think they're doing God's service by actually persecuting the Jews and the Christians. And those are only the handful that I could call to mind as I was putting the notes down. But we see personal promises to you and I. Promises that we take on faith. But not a blind faith, upon a faith that's based upon all of God's other promises and prophecies coming true. I believe I will live forever in heaven, not because I am a good person, but because God has made good on all his other promises, and he made a promise to me personally that if I repented of my sins and trusted in his Son as Savior, I would go to heaven and he would keep me in the palm of his hand. And that's the same to any Christian. I believe that because all of God's other promises and prophecies have come true. We also see the flip side of that coin for those that reject Jesus Christ, that they will spend an endless eternity in the lake of fire, living with torment and regret forever. We see the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And goodness, every time I stand up here, I depend upon the promises of the Holy Spirit to bring all things to my remembrance. And sometimes I even have the notes to depend upon as well. We see the many other prophecies that were made that apply to today, which we spoke about the technology of a global communications network, of artificial intelligence, of computer-generated images, of a huge explosion of information mentioned in Daniel 12 and the way people would travel, and even in the New Testament, the attitudes to people about God and his people. And all of these, ones that are still to come, the ones that we are living in right now, they're in this book, the last word of which was put in it just over 1900 years ago. We have the historical record to show that these things happen, just like God said they would. And we have our TVs to show us so many of the other ones are happening literally right now. Of course, the very personal ones, especially about salvation, we take on faith. Not an ignorant, blind faith, but a reasoning, proven faith. All of God's prophecies that were made for the past have come to pass. And all those that are made for up until this present day are happening right now, and there's no mistake in them. Never have to second guess them, never have to wonder about them. And there's a reason for that. If we were to look at God and use the rules of prophecy, we would say, God, have your short-term prophecies come to pass? God would say, check the records. And they have. Even in our own lives, they have come to pass. Therefore, we should believe God's long-term prophecies. And in the same way that Jeremiah spoke to the people of the day, the word of God is speaking to the people of today. These long-term ones that were given 2,000 years ago, they're coming true. We're living through them. But you need to know, as far as God's concerned, they're already done. They're as sure and as guaranteed as the earth spinning around the sun for at least another 1,007 years. It's only a matter of right now who will bend the knee and admit that they're wrong and God is right and ask him to save them. The judgments are coming. It's a matter of you're either saved from hell or you're going to spend an eternity there. The tail end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, describes an awful time for this world, but it also shows us that the things that are happening in the world right now are nothing but a warm-up for what is coming. Half of the world's population is going to die. And the ones that are left are, many of them are going to have taken the mark of the beast. Many of the people there, Christians, believers, are going to lose their lives simply because And they didn't have to, but simply because they refused to get saved. That's what makes all the difference. In the same way, back in the days of Noah, all that it would have taken for one of the mockers and scoffers to be saved was to say, you know what? I've never known Noah to be a liar and his three sons. I've never known them to be liars. I'm just going to go into the boat and sit there for 3 days. That's all it would have taken. And they might have been laughed at, they might have been mocked at for 3 days. But whenever the rain started to fall and the flood started to rise, the laughing and the mocking would stop and he would have been saved. And all that it takes for a person to avoid the judgment that's coming, whether it's the judgment on this earth or the great white throne of judgment for the lost, is to say between them and God, God, I'm a sinner. Would you please save me? It's all that it takes. I believe that your son died for my sins. Would you please save me? It's all that it takes. And that great work of salvation, also already finished, done, set in stone, cannot ever be changed, neither the power of it ever made less, will save the soul that does that for the end of ages of eternity. And that's all that God wants. He's not looking for churches to be built. He's not looking for men to be eminent scholars and eloquent speakers. He's looking for souls to be saved. And we ought to believe them. Even as Christians, we ought to believe a little bit better. All this stuff is there so that we can believe, and we will believe. And in the face of all of the nonsense and ridicule that the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to send our way, that is there for us to believe. To put our faith in, and to put our trust in. And to walk down the street with a skip on our step and a smile on our face, no matter what it's doing outside. Because we know Jesus has us in the palm of his hand, and no matter what happens to us in this world, we are going to heaven. And someday, friends, that will be the most important thing in the world. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. We're going to sing a song, and then we will be dismissed. Amen. We're in the big hymn book. If you'd like to take a turn there. Hymn number 355. 355 will be our closing hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
What a privilege to be.
time of attention. God bless you. Safe travels home. And be dismissed with a word of prayer. Let's close your eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us and for your patience and long suffering for us. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us with our daily bread, the things we need day by day. That you would fight the battles for us that only you can fight, Lord, in the minds, the hearts and minds of men and women and children. For the saving of souls and for the, Lord, the opposing of the wicked. Let us thank you, Lord, for each and every soul you have saved, and pray your good hand upon our brothers and sisters, wherever they are in the world. Please also supply their needs this day and every day, Father. Thank you for your patience, long suffering. Thank you for loving us and forgiveness. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for the whole day.